Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you have worked long enough, at one time or another, you have found it necessary to go look for a job. I remember that when I was asked to apply for a specific job at Amazon Web Services, what a process I had to go through. Research the company. I didn't even really know who they were. Had to study them, their leadership principles. And then I had to update my resume so it reflected like I might know what I'm talking about. I had to reflect my experiences and expertise in the questions that were asked on the job application form. After they received the application form, I then had to go through a series of telephone interviews, making sure that my answers were short and crisp and to the point. And then if I got lucky enough, they would fly me to Seattle, Washington, where you go through a day-long series of interviews, six interviews back-to-back, each hour with company managers and executives. And then, like everyone else, you go home, you sit near the phone, and you prayerfully listen and wait to see what God's answer is. Is this the next door? Imagine how different it would be if we didn't have to sell ourselves to companies, but rather companies would come to us and ask us to work for them. Great salaries, full benefits, no interview required. Why, it would almost seem like heaven. One of the truths that we celebrate today is that in our relationship with Jesus, this is exactly what happens. Jesus comes to each of us. During the time of Jesus, children would begin their religious education at the age of three. They would first learn the Torah, instruction, teaching, or law, found in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. After they had learned the Torah, they then learned the Talmud, the central text of rabbinic Judaism, and the primary source of Jewish religious law and Jewish theology. The Talmud was the centerpiece of Jewish culture, life, and foundation to all Jewish thought and aspirations, serving also as a guide for the daily life of Jews. After the Talmud came the Mishnah, translated by repetition or to study and review, also secondary, the first major written collection of Jewish and oral traditions, which is also known as the Oral Torah. I bet you your 2 or 3 years of confirmation doesn't seem so bad now. By the time they were in their early teens, they had a solid religious foundation. And after this long period of religious education, men could continue their learning by becoming disciples or learner of a rabbi. Prospective students would approach various rabbis and ask to learn from them. If the rabbi agreed, they would follow and learn. If that rabbi said no, the student would then have to approach a different rabbi. Very similar to the college application process of today. But Jesus did not work that way. Jesus does not work that way. He did not wait for men to come to him. He went out and selected people to be his disciples. This is what is taking place in today's text. As we heard Laura share, Jesus goes to Andrew and Peter, James and John, and calls them to follow him. Jesus fished for disciples like the fishermen of his day caught fish. Fishermen at that same time of Jesus didn't use a hook and line, but rather that large net they would throw out into the water and then draw the net and fish into the boat. Jesus threw out his net, caught his new disciples, and drew them to him. Now, Christians have argued over the millennia whether they found Jesus or Jesus found them, whether they decided to follow Jesus or Jesus decided to be their Lord and Savior. As Lutherans, we stress the fact that Jesus chose us. Jesus chose you. Martin Luther wrote, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength come to the Lord Jesus or believe in him, but the Holy Spirit calls me." Some people don't like the idea that they were netted and drawn into Jesus' boat, the church. One thing that we can say is that Jesus used people and situations to draw us close to him and to bring us to the point where we trust his invitation to be his disciples. Our text said it this way: "Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." Now, when we read that the disciples left their nets and followed Jesus, we often visualize them as never returning to their homes. Like the movies we watch, we see them just get up and walk away, almost like they are going on a 3-year camping trip with Jesus. This is probably not true. A more likely scenario was that the disciples traveled with Jesus, but frequently returned home. As they traveled the Galilean countryside, they were never more than a day or two journey from their homes. Being disciples of Jesus, however, impacted their lives and how they went about their vocations. They turned from fishermen who followed Jesus into disciples of Jesus who fished. This is an important nuance in our life. It's hard to imagine that they saw and did with Jesus not affecting their lives back home. Certainly they shared with others what they had seen and what they heard. Jesus' teachings about love and forgiveness probably started to transform their lives also. No matter your age or how long you have been following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus is an ongoing, life-changing experience. Over my years, there have been people who have ministered to me and challenged me with the depth of their Christian discipleship. You have those same people probably on your journey through life. I remember Cy was the director of the YMCA camp on Catalina Island. It is a summer camp that I first attended at age 8. I then started working at that summer camp when I was 12. Cy was the man who guided me through their programs that were called the Leather Society and the Reggers program, a program that guided me to trusting a man named Jesus. Or there was a guy named Juan Sandoval who ran an orphanage in Tijuana, Mexico. When I was in high school, we would go down once or twice a year in a 10-foot U-Haul and carry food. And being the smart aleck that I was at the time, I thought, we'll surprise Juan. We'll go down at a time of the year when people don't normally donate and give food. And we loaded up a 10-foot U-Haul, and we go down and we pull up to the orphanage. There's Juan, slowly coming across the dirt ground playground, stopping, visiting with each kid that he met, not acting surprised at all. I said, "Juan, what? No surprise?" And Juan quietly in his normal way said, "No. Yesterday we ran out of food. I knew God would provide today." A man who walked and trusted God with his life. I could share others who have challenged me by demonstrating the depth of their Christian discipleship, but none of these disciples had charmed lives. They struggled with broken and bruised relationships, tight finances, sickness, death, and all the other parts of life that we as humans face. Still, they understood themselves to be disciples of Jesus above all. And because of that, they understood their lives were different. And it did not matter their vocation. They touched the lives of those they encountered every day. What a privilege it is to be a part of God's family. Chosen to receive God's love and grace and forgiveness. Chosen to share that love and grace with others and all with whom we come in contact. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are, you are, each of us are children of God. Servants of God in all we do, the disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.